There are at least, at the very least, 10,000 reasons for us to praise God and to thank God for what God does for us. Today I want to read for you from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. This is Luke's recording of what is typically called the Sermon on the Plain instead of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke changes it around a little bit than Matthew does. So listen to these words. He, meaning Jesus, went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at the disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Luke does change this some, because in the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about being blessed. Blessed are those, and it goes on and on again with blessed are those. And Luke writes it as four blessings and four woes. The first thing that we need to understand is it's not just the 12 disciples who are there, who we come to end up calling the apostles. There is a large crowd of people there, and they are all referred to as disciples. There were not only 12, there were many. And this crowd is gathering around Jesus, and they want to hear him, but most of all, they want to be touched. They want to be healed. They want to be cured. They want the demons exorcised from them. They want all of that gone. That's why they're there. And what does it say? And the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. So Jesus shares with a large crowd of disciples about the spiritual life. He shares with them about the spiritual life, trying to help them understand what this spiritual life is and what is this life that God has called them to. Okay? How should they be living this life, and what should they be doing? In Luke's version, Jesus shares blessings and woes about the spiritual life. They're paired from one extreme to another. Okay, he's sharing blessings and woes with them, and they are paired from one extreme to another. This is where I would encourage you, if you've got your Bible with you, to pull it out and look at this passage. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 17. I would encourage you, I know that we have the Bible up on the screen when I read it, but I would encourage you to always bring your Bible with you. I know it's available on the screen as I read it, but especially today, I'm going to be referring back and forth to it. And I didn't ask Jonathan to put together a bunch of slides where it would go back and forth all the time. So, I don't know, I think all of us should carry our Bibles with us. That's my personal opinion. Let's look at how these are set up. Because Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor," in verse 20, is the very first one. But then in verse 24, he says, "Woe to you who are rich." The exact opposite. Those who are poor, blessings be upon you. Those who are rich, woe to you. And then in the second one, he says, "Blessed are you who hunger now." And then he says, "Woe to you who are well fed now." Then he says, "Blessed are those who weep now. And woe to you who laugh now. Blessed are you when people hate you. Woe to you when people only speak good about you." See, it's opposite the whole time. If you look at verse 20 and then you go down to 24, you look at 21, you go down to 25, you look at the second half of 21, the second half of 25. Then you go to verse 22 and look at verse 26. All of these are opposites. Okay? Woe to you who are hungry. Or no, it's not that way, is it? Woe to you who are well fed. And it's blessed are those who are hungry. Now, to me, that works both physically and spiritually, especially that one. Okay? Blessed are you who are spiritually hungry. And blessed are woe to you who think you are spiritually well fed. Okay? Now, I want to be honest with you. As I looked at these this week, and I spent some time going back and forth between these opposites, I want to confess to you that the only thing that's there for me is all the woes. Listen to the woes. Woe to you who are rich. I'm rich. Compared to about 90 to 95% of this world, I'm rich. I still am overwhelmed to realize when I was in Kenya in 98, $500 in my pocket would feed a full family for a year. $500. Folks, we're all rich. In comparison to most people in the world, we are unbelievably rich. Now, I know some of you may say, "But Pastor, I don't have enough money to pay my bills." Well, you know what? Some of the people around the world don't have money at all. They live by a very dirt existence. So when I looked at that for me, I said, well, I'm on the woe half of this. Woe to you who are rich. And the second one says, woe to you who are well fed now. I don't remember the last time I missed a meal or a snack. And very few Americans, I'm sorry to say this, if you don't agree with me, I understand, but very few Americans are not overweight. Most people in America eat more than they'll ever need. So I realized as I read that, especially through these past 2 years of COVID, I've gained back 15 pounds. Woe to you who are well fed. Well, that includes me. Woe to you who laugh now. Those of you that spend time around me know I love to laugh. And I love to pull jokes, and I love to make funny statements, and my life is filled with laughter. Woe to me. Woe to everyone who speaks well of you. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. Well, Jesus, you got me again. I'm rich. I'm well fed. I laugh a lot. And for most of my life, everybody has spoken very well of me. Woe is me. So it made me sit down and look at this and say, now wait a minute. Does this mean the spiritual life is only for those on the blessing end of the spectrum? Is the spiritual life only for those on the blessings end? Those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who weep, those who are spoken ill about. Is that where the spiritual life is? Does that mean that I should stop laughing? And that I should always be weeping? Does it mean that I should get rid of any riches that I have so that I can be poor? Does it mean that I need to skip as many meals as possible so that I might be hungry? Does it mean that I've got to make up ways for people to hate me? Because if that's where blessing is that where we all need to move to? Do we need to move from this being well-fed, this being rich, this being full of laughter and joy and happiness to the opposite end so that we can participate in the spiritual life? It made me think. It really made me think, instead of these all being blessings, that there are some woes here. It made me think this week. And the first thing that I thought this was good for was that these statements can help us to evaluate our place and then help us to develop a broader vision for others. It helps us to evaluate our place. If I'm always way far on this end of the scale, this end of the spectrum, does it not mean that I should do something different? The Open Door and Hope Packs are wonderful, wonderful ministries in the midst of our community. Some of you have helped out with both of them. Agape is another wonderful place. And we brought in lots of food today for Guy to cart over to Agape. But I want to tell you that sometimes I sit down and realize how much I'm eating. And then I also realize sometimes how many leftovers we have that oftentimes only get thrown away. And I'm thinking about the thing that I'm possibly throwing away more than some families will ever have. It should cause me to evaluate. If I can only find myself on this end of the spectrum where Jesus is looking at me and saying, "Woe to you, Tim, because you are well fed." Maybe I need to do something different. It's one of the reasons that I'm particularly looking forward to bringing Bible study and our prayer meeting back to the sanctuary. We're going to do that on March the 16th. There will be no more Zoom on Wednesday nights. We'll be in the sanctuary. But one of the things that I used to be able to do that I can't do right now is I would go down and help pack Hope Packs on Wednesday nights. Hope Packs are for the kids so that they can have something to eat during the weekend. It ends up being, in the pack that they get, it ends up being about a day and a half worth of food. It's a significant pack that they get every Friday. And there's nothing about, well, you got to qualify for it, your family's got to have a certain income, you got to have so many, there's nothing about that. If parents want to sign their kid up for a Hope Pack, they get it. Somewhere in the neighborhood between 800 and 900 packs are made every week for all the schools in Wythe County and in Bland County. 800 to 900 packs are made up a week so kids can have a meal, they can have some snacks. There's about a day and a half worth of food there. There really is, because sometimes it's soup, sometimes it's SpaghettiOs, sometimes it's a box of macaroni and cheese, it's all kinds of snacks. I'm looking forward to the time that we're going to have supper back here at church, so that I can go down there at 5 to help pack, be here at 6 for supper. It's amazing to me what Mike Pugh has done with that. In 45 minutes to an hour, 900 packs are packaged and set on the shelf ready to deliver to the kids. 45 minutes to an hour. Incredible. Open Door makes sure that people can have a hot meal 5 days a week. And if you haven't been there to have a meal there, you missed out on one of the best meals there is in town. I can tell you that right now. They ask for a donation of $8, and if you can't give a donation, they give you the food anyway. 5 days a week. Both of those things have been near and dear to my heart, because sometimes I sit down and look at the food I've got on my plate and I realize there's some people in our county that don't have food. And then when I realize what we throw away, I'm like, oh my goodness. Because believe it or not, that's one of the biggest problems in landfills right now. Is food that's thrown away. It's not plastic. It's food that's thrown away. That's one of the biggest problems in the landfills, believe it or not. So I can evaluate myself and I can look at it and I can say, you know what? I've got enough food for 3 meals a day and 2 snacks and maybe another meal if I want to. And some people are lucky to have 2 meals a day. Maybe it's something that causes me to open my eyes then and see that there are things that can be done. As I look at how much money I have and how many resources I have, and then I'm just going to take it one step further. When I look at all the stuff that I have stored at home that I never use, And some people don't have plates to put food on. Wonder what we can do. I heard about one individual one time that moved out of their college room, put everything in storage because they didn't know where they were going or what they were going to do with it. 20 to 30 years later, everything was still in storage. What good is that? Every month, paying for storage. Because they didn't want to deal with cleaning up whatever was left in their dorm room. Folks, maybe these are here not so much to say, hey, you're on the woe end and something's wrong here. You're not on the blessing end. Maybe they're here to help us evaluate what we have, what we can do with what we have, and how we can help people on the other end of the scale. How can we? What can we do about hunger? Our community has done something about it. Between Agape and Open Door and Hope Packs. And I know there's at least two other places that some of our folks volunteer at, food pantries in our county. There's opportunities there for us to help. There's opportunities there for us to give. There's opportunities for us to try to make sure people have what they need so that they can live. Maybe Jesus talks about these so that we can become more aware of those that are around us. And we can understand that how rich we are. I got at least 4 or 5 or 6 fishing poles at my house. Probably ain't used a single one of them in 15 years. Why am I keeping them? Why am I keeping them? One day. I'm going fishing one day. But even if I think I'm going fishing one day, why do I need 6 of them? Last time I checked, I didn't have 6 hands. Folks, I think we need to be honest with ourselves. If we find ourselves more towards the woe end, how can we help those that Jesus said are blessed? And I want to deal with one last one before I close. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Because you're a Christian, are there people out there that don't like you? If not, maybe they don't really understand that you're a Christian. And it's time for you to speak up more. Because Jesus says throughout all the Gospels that if we share about Him and that we help people come to Jesus Christ, that there will be those who hate us. Not that I'm asking you to go out and make sure people are hating you. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you sharing about Jesus Christ with the unchurched folks in our community? There's not even 40 of us here this morning. I know, it's cold outside and it snowed this morning. Got it. But it didn't keep people from coming to church. As you drive home today, I want to ask you to look at the driveways you drive past and see how many cars that it looks like never moved this morning because they still got snow on them. Pretty good indication that they are not churched folks. Those are the folks we need to be reaching out to. Those are the folks we need to be helping. Because if we don't help them, what does the scriptures tell us? They're going to hell. That's what the scriptures tell us. We need to be helping them. We need to be reaching out to them. Maybe these things are here for that reason. Because I'm convinced that when we have a larger, broader vision, when we do this, our ability to reach others for salvation will be greatly expanded. Our ability to reach others with salvation will be greatly expanded. Salvation Army in Norfolk, Virginia has a shelter, and they feed people. They feed people first, and then they tell them, you got to stay for a worship service at least. They don't say you got to be there for the worship service first and then we'll feed you. Because they realize that sometimes people can't listen if they're hungry. Folks, there's all kinds of things we can do to help people listen. Our ability to reach out and help people with salvation is part of our ability to minister to them and their needs. So I'm going to ask you, how will you use these blessings and woes to open your heart to those around you? How will you use these blessings and woes to open your heart to those around you? I can't stop thinking about this. If I've always got a full plate of food to eat, there's always going to be people that don't. I'm trying to remember my numbers, but I think Open Door, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I think Open Door feeds about 400 meals a week across 5 days. And a lot of those people aren't able to donate the $8 for the meal. How will these blessings and woes help you to open your heart to those around you? Let's pray. Lord, this is a passage that's very difficult to look at. Because as we look at it, we realize where we are, if we are honest with ourselves. And we realize what's going on and what's happening in the midst of everything. And Lord, we do see how rich we are, how well fed we are, and how often we live in the midst of laughter. May we take these blessings and woes to help us to see those around us, those who are poor, those who are not well fed, those who are always living in the midst of woe and weeping. Lord, please help us to move from our position to helping those around us, that they might have their needs met, so that then they would see the ultimate need that they have in their life in coming to you and accepting salvation and forgiveness from you. Lord, help us with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.